Good morning. Last week, I began what might turn out to be a series of sermons. I'm not sure it will, but might. on the Beatitudes, because we've been singing them lately and learning them to be part of our liturgy. And last week I used St. Gregory of Nyssa's commentary on the Beatitudes as my starting point. You know, I don't stick with Gregory, but it was a good way to get some of my pointers. And last week we talked a little bit about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Today I want to do another one of the Beatitudes, not the second Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, maybe next week for that one. But I'm following Gregory of Nyssa's example here, because after blessed are the poor in spirit, he went into blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now before I continue, Gregory of Nyssa actually happens to be his feast day today. Also January 10th is the feast of St. Gregory of Nyssa. He was a very important early theologian and commentator. He belonged to a group of early interpreters of the Bible who used a lot of allegory, who used a lot of symbolic interpretations, and he was a big follower of Origen, who had lived about 100 years before him. Gregory of Nyssa came from a very prominent family. His brother was St. Basil the Great, for whom the Vasilopita is named. His sister, Makrina, was a very, very saintly woman. His parents are saints. The whole family are saints. This is one of those classic Christian families where practically everybody in the family ended up becoming a saint of the church. And Gregory of Nyssa himself was a very spiritual man who always gave the credit to his sister, Makrina, for educating him in the ways of Christ, which is very unusual in the early centuries of the church for a woman to take credit, to be given credit by a bishop nonetheless. Anyway, Gregory of Nyssa was certainly one of the leading lights of the early centuries of the church. He lived in the 4th century. So one of his most notable works is this commentary on the Beatitudes. And he was one of the first to write a commentary on the Beatitudes. So it's interesting that after blessed are the poor in spirit, he jumped to blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, skipping over blessed are those who mourn and leaving that for the next chapter. And I think that the reason why he did that is because he wanted to ask the question about the third Beatitude. Is this a step down? Doesn't use these words, but this is essentially what he was saying. Is this a step down from the first Beatitudes? After all, in the first Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now the meek, they're only going to inherit the earth. You know, it sounds like a step down from the kingdom of heaven to the earth. But then he talks about how the Word, the Logos, the Word of God came down to this earth, to our lowliness. And he himself called himself meek. Jesus called himself meek. So he goes on to describe what is this earth that the meek will inherit. Is it the polluted earth that we ourselves know today that we are destroying with our lack of meekness? That's my question, not Gregory's. No, Gregory says, it is the land which is not cut open with the plow of evil. Nice terminology, cut open with the plow of evil, which is what we do when we destroy our planet, when we destroy our environment. We're cutting it open with evil So that's his terminology. It's not the land that is, it is not the, it, is it the land, it is the land which is not cut open with the plow of evil, which does not produce thistles and thorns, but is the land of the water of refreshment and the green places where springs up the fourfold fountain and the vine that is tended by the God of all creation. This is how he destroys it, it describes it. The land that is fruitful in good things, where the tree of life waves its leaves, which is watered by the fountains of spiritual graces, it is the land where sprouts the true vine. In other words, the way he describes this earth that the meek will inherit, it is not much different from the kingdom of heaven. So in Gregory's mind, it is not a step down. It is the same. The kingdom of heaven can be described as the transfigured earth that, for example, we see in the book of Revelation, in the final couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. That's the language that he uses. It is the land where sprouts the true vine. And if you remember the Gospel of John, Jesus himself refers to himself as the true vine, as the vine, and we are the branches. So the earth that Gregory envisions is the redeemed earth, the transfigured earth, the earth of the new creation where Christ himself will rule. And we rule with him in perfect stewardship of the land. See, right now, we are not good stewards of the land. But in the renewed earth, in the transfigured earth, where all God's people will reign in peace and harmony with Christ, we will be good stewards of the land, and the meek will inherit the earth. Now, you might say, gee, it sounds like mythology. Such a thing is not going to happen. Perhaps, but all that Gregory is doing is being faithful to the language of the Bible. But he does go one step further, and this is what I found most interesting in his commentary. He says that every human being is able to move his or her free will in two directions. One direction or the other. Every one of us has the freedom to move in one direction or the other, to move our will, our free will. See, we are given free will by God to choose, to make choices. And Gregory says our human nature is very quick to turn toward what is evil and destructive behavior. Sometimes self-destructive behavior. It's too easy. And most of us are just very easy to be attracted to what is not good for us, whether it's food, whether it's behavior, whether it's drugs, whether it's a certain lifestyle of drinking and partying and just destroying ourselves. We're very quick. It's easy to be attracted to those kinds of behaviors. And he says that the opposite of that, the cure for that, is to act slowly and calmly, with reason, with thinking, with that great virtue of the ancient Greeks, moderation. Moderation is his teaching. If we act with moderation, with reasoning, with thinking, we are not going to jump into those negative behaviors, in those negative expressions of our free will. He's very unique among the fathers of the church, because you read most of the fathers of the church, especially the ones who were monks, and he himself was also an ascetic. But most of the fathers of the church, they tell us, kill your passions, kill your desires. That's their answer to everything, which makes it so unrealistic, and which is why I don't encourage people to read things like the Philokalia, because you can go crazy reading books like that. What, I'm supposed to suppress all my desires? What, am I supposed to be a dead piece of meat? Gregory doesn't do that. He's quite unique in that respect, and very modern, in my opinion, and much easier to deal with. He does not say that we should kill our desires and our inclinations, what he called the passions, the pathi, but rather that we exercise moderation, that we take things slowly and think about our choices. And this is meekness. Moderation is meekness in the eyes of Gregory. And I agree with him. Because he says, he actually says this, the elimination of passions and desires is against nature. He's very profoundly psychological and insightful here. It's against nature to suppress your desires. The question is not to suppress and you kill the passions and the desires, but to exercise moderation and thought and meekness. And those are not against nature. They are very definitely within the power of human nature. And so Gregory ends up being remarkably optimistic about what is within our reach. So the lesson that I get from him is that we also need to be optimistic. It is so easy to be negative, to be pessimistic in today's world. So much that is going wrong in our own lives, in our family lives, in our communities, in our city, in our state, in the world. So much that we can be pessimistic about it. But if we are to be poor in spirit and if we are to be meek, we need to be positive, optimistic about our lives and the life of the world. Only the meek will inherit the earth. And I'm going to rephrase that, rephrase the Bible, and say something maybe even, maybe might communicate the message even better. Meekness will inherit the earth. Meekness, the virtue of meekness, this virtue that Gregory describes, moderation, thoughtfulness, slow to act. Meekness will inherit the earth. That is what's going to save the earth. Only meekness will make the earth something that we can inherit, that we will inherit with Christ. Only gentleness will save us from destruction. When we meet anger with anger, violence and hatred with violence and hatred, like we see so much today, every time you turn on the news, we are not meek, and there will be no earth to inherit. When we don't walk softly and meekly on the planet, we're on the fast track to environmental collapse, and again, there will be no earth to inherit. While Gregory sees the earth that the meek will inherit as essentially the same as the kingdom of heaven, I prefer to see the beatitude, this beatitude, about the meek inheriting the earth as a challenge to us to live and act in a manner that will make the earth something worth inheriting. The liturgy is our Eucharist, our Eucharistia, our thanksgiving. That's what the liturgy is. It's a Eucharist. It's our thanksgiving for the gift of life, for the gift of the earth, the gift of fellowship with God and with each other through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The liturgy teaches us to be thankful. Notice how many times we thank God, especially in that prayer that I read before we kneel, the prayer of the consecration, the anaphora. Only an attitude of thankfulness can lead to meekness. Only when the earth itself becomes our Eucharist, our offering to God in thanksgiving for what he offers to us. The earth is that middle ground. He offers it to us and we offer it back to him. The bread that you receive communion every Sunday, it is offered to us and we offer it back to God and he offers it back to us as communion. Somebody bakes it, offers it, brings it here. We pray over it, We offer it to God, we lift that up, that loaf of bread, toward God, and He offers it back to us as communion. That's Thanksgiving. The earth is at the very heart of our Thanksgiving, of our Eucharist. It itself is Eucharist. And that's when this third beatitude becomes reality. So I do say, in an optimistic manner, the meek will inherit the earth, if there is an earth to inherit. And that's why I prefer to say meekness will inherit the earth. Meekness. And that's our challenge. Amen.